Lord, your word is truth, and you speak through it unlike any other place. Give us grace, we pray, to see you, to walk with you, to follow you, even when we can't see you, and know you are still there. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I was channel surfing early on a Saturday morning, and a preacher with big hair and a lot of moose, I kid you not, came on offering this miracle spring water. That's what it was called. This water, I was told, would work wonders in my life. Need a blessing? Get the water. Need to be healed of a disease? Want more money? Want a new job? Want something good to happen? You need this water. I thought it was a joke. And then came the testimonials. And it wasn't a joke. People receiving cars, cash, homes even, all because they had faith and the little packet of water. And of course, they followed the directions. It was initially sent for free, but you really have faith, you're going to send in money. I looked into it a little afterwards. That was the second part that happened. It would eventually include following the directions with faith would include sending money. How sad. Because people are taken in by this kind of thing. And those who want to be critical of the Christian faith have an easy target right there, even though that really has nothing to do with the Christian faith. And the hucksters always have an explanation. Well, if it didn't work for me, let's say if I put some on my head and I didn't wake up looking like Fabio the next morning, well, my fault, right? Just didn't have enough faith. You know, the problem with things like this is that they are so focused on the here and now. So focused on the world. As if the point of the Christian faith were to give me a better life on this earth. Now, full disclosure, that kind of thinking naturally appeals to us, right? But when we see it that way, the truth is we're only seeing part of God's word. Because if we look at it more closely, well, we see Jesus saying some interesting things. I mean, when we first see Jesus, we see him coming into people's lives and we see good things happening, healings, miracles, wonderful things that all still happen today. Please don't get me wrong. But we also see Jesus saying things like this. Well, if you have to scroll back through the whole sermon. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Or whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Jesus tells us to count the cost. And if you look at the history of the early church, he means it. Each of the 12 apostles. To a one, each of them suffered for their faith. All of them went to martyrs' deaths for their faith. To a one, John, oh, he outlived the others, but he went to the Isle of Patmos, and what was it? It was a Roman penal colony where you had to do hard work in stone. That's how he died. If only they had had the miracle spring water, right? You see, that's the danger. Do we come to Jesus for what he can do for us? Or do we follow him because we see it like Peter? On one occasion, when Jesus had said some things that were pretty difficult, Peter looked at him and said, "You do not." Jesus looked at Peter and the apostles. A number of people were here. Let me go back. Jesus had said some difficult things, and a number of people were leaving. And Jesus looks at the 12 apostles and says, "You don't want to leave too, do you?" And Peter responds, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, here's the truth. If you are a believer in Jesus, you will have wonderful blessings, the greatest of which is salvation and treasure in heaven. And if we are watching, if we pray, we will see God move and we will see him work miracles. But make no mistake about it. We will also have trials in our lives, and some of them will be heartbreaking. And the truth is, we need to know that when we sign up. That's the full counsel of Scripture. And Jesus, our Savior and leader, who suffered more than any other, makes that clear. And that finally brings us to our reading this morning. Peter, who would be crucified upside down for his faith, writes the first generations of Christians. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of even greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Our hope in Jesus is wonderful beyond words, and we should praise God for it every day. You know, yesterday as I was driving home from Wilmington, I was tired. Again, I had spent some time with a four-year-old and hadn't slept much. But as I have a prayer list that I go over every day, and as I was in the car on the way back, I thought, well, it's time to get out your prayer list. And then that internal conversation started. I don't want to get out my prayer list. I'm too tired. God, you understand. Lord, you know what's on my list. Would you just please cover all of it for me? And I thought, I know that's kind of cheesy, but okay, would you do that? And then the sun started to set. And I was across these plains in Central Carolina where there was just this glorious sunset, and it was what you would call a golden hour. And all of a sudden I realized, I gotta praise God. And I wanna get my list out now. And it was amazing how he changed me in that circumstance. But you and I, you know, the truth is, the scripture says we have this treasure in jars of clay. And the challenging thing is when trials come, will we understand that God is still good, that He still loves us, that He's still in control? You see, when we make it all about us, it's harder to see Him. Just because things do not seem to be going well, just because you cannot feel Him in the moment, do not doubt that you are His. Do not doubt that you are precious to Him. You know, if we're not careful, it's easy to live our faith with an outlook that basically says, you know, if I'm walking with God, all will go well for me. I mean, we see some of that in the Old Testament. And that's why preachers who talk a lot about that sort of thing, that sort of blessing lifestyle, like to talk a lot about the Old Testament. But then you get into the New Testament and you look at Jesus, whom we're called to follow and be disciples of. And things didn't always go well with Him, right? And when they don't go well for us, we can start doubting and asking, how could a good God who loves me and is all-powerful allow this to happen to me? But what Peter shows us here is that when you and I go through trials, God is doing something of eternal worth. He's refining us. He's making us more like Jesus, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I don't think that that's just about the day when Jesus returns and we see Him. I think that's also about Jesus Christ being revealed in us. But you know, it requires something of us to take that step, to see it that way, doesn't it? It's not easy when you're going through it. I heard a challenging sermon this past week from Andrew Brunson, who many of you know. He is a missionary from our denomination, the EPC, who spent over 2 years in a Turkish prison. By the way, do you know that when the EPC sends missionaries, and I've seen this many times, that as they take their vows, they take a vow of martyrdom? Most of our missionaries are to Muslim countries. And it's always a very sobering thing. But basically, what they are vowing is, even if it costs me my life, I will be faithful. Andrew spoke in the chapel at Wheaton College last week, and he said some things that were so honest. And one of those things was that when he was in prison, he did not feel the presence of God the way that he thought he would. He thought it would be like Paul and Silas singing hymns after midnight. And then he looked back on that and realized, wait a minute, they were only in prison for one night. He said it was far harder than he imagined. And he said, looking at the world today, looking at our country today, we as believers in Jesus need to be better prepared to face persecution. He said, if we have this idealized sense of always being blessed, we won't be ready. For 10 years before he went into prison, he had pursued the presence of God. And they'd experienced it in their church. They had experienced it in their worship. And Jesse, if you had said that, yes, in some ways we may already be there, yes, you're right. Some of that happens. It's usually happening more individually. But all persecution happens, even here, even now. But when he went into solitary confinement, he could not sense God's presence. In spite of the move of God that he had seen for the past 10 years in some beautiful ways, and that silence nearly caused him to despair. But then he realized something. He realized that God was testing him. Again, look at that verse. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. God was giving him a chance to prove his faith. Would he show himself worthy? Would he take up his cross and follow where he could not feel? One of his main questions at that time was why? And he prayed, where is the lover of my soul in this dark night? Where is the comfort? Why are you so far away? Why are you so silent? How many times will you let me be crushed? Why haven't you intervened for me? But then he came to this. He said, but then I realized that God also had a question for me. Will you be offended, Andrew? Will you continue to love me? Will you still devote your heart to me? Will you pass the test? And this is the truth. God tests his sons and daughters. And dear one, we see this. We see this in his word. And it's hard to see because it speaks of realities that we don't like, but we have to admit are true. And what got him through, the most fundamental thing that he learned was the importance of a simple devotion. Please listen. A simple faithfulness, a simple love on his part. He found himself praying over and over, I love you, Jesus. Even if you don't give me your presence, I love you. Even if you let my enemy harm me, I love you. He kept praying that, and he was actually surprised at the prayer. Because he wasn't really feeling that at the moment, but the more he prayed, that was what came out. And it became clear to him in that it wasn't all up to him. God was at work in him for his salvation, though he was being tested. And he said, I question God, but God's faithfulness and love and loyalty were not being tested. They never are. My faithfulness, my loyalty, my love were being tested. Would I pass the test of God's silence? Now, some of you may be encountering that silence in one way or another right now. Sometimes it can go on just in certain places for years and years. But whenever we face it, it is this hard reality, and you wonder, how could God be anywhere in this? How could God have anything to do with this? And you may see circumstances that are evil, and you wonder why God has not intervened in the midst of those circumstances. And if you are not careful in that place, you can easily, easily step away. And this is one of the reasons why it is so important for us to be part of a family of faith and part of a body of believers. You know, when our son was struggling with heroin addiction, and we thought, how could it possibly come to this? God, we prayed for this child before he even left the hospital. We gave him to you. And you deal with that raw emotion, and you think, why? How? Where are you in all of this? But as we continued to be part of a family of faith, we met others who had been through the same or worse, and who said, I know where you've been. He's faithful. Keep looking. Keep watching. Keep walking. He's faithful. Now, you may not be in a Turkish prison, but you're in a place right now, perhaps where you wonder where God is. You've been seeking him, but he still seems far away. Dear one, I want to encourage you this morning. Keep loving. Keep loving him. Keep telling Jesus you love him, just as Andrew did. You know, in the very next chapter of his letter, Peter writes, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you were insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Dear one, if you just persevere, if you just keep looking to him and keep loving him, I promise you a day will come when the light breaks. And it may be just for you, in a moment where nothing else changes around you, but all of a sudden within you, his light shines. And you know that you know it. Peter is saying, do not be surprised. Do not be overwhelmed. God is still faithful. Hang on. Praise him still. Tell him you are his. Tell him you love him. He hasn't left you, even if you can't feel him in the moment. He will bring you through, because he is so much more. Jesus is always worth it. Always. Jesus is always faithful. Always. Let's go to him now again. May we pray. Whatever circumstance you may be in, if this resonated, if it hit a chord with you this morning, if you've been wondering, Lord, where are you? Would you tell him, I trust you. I trust you. Remember that Jesus went to the cross. Oh. As God incarnate, he suffered more than we know. But all the beauty of it is what comes after. The tomb is empty, and he is risen at the right hand of God. And he will give us grace to overcome because he has overcome. Our part, run to him. Run to him. If you've never received him before, if you've never come to him before, oh, it's so simple. To simply say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. I'm sorry, I know it. You know it better than I. But oh, forgive me, Jesus, through what you've done for me on your cross, forgive me. I receive you. I want a new life with you. I want my life to be caught up in your life. And to follow you. Praying a prayer like that, maybe not those words exactly, but from the heart, something will happen. He will save you. He will set you free. And he will give you hope unlike any other. That is our Savior. And he is faithful. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.